May the words of my mouth and the thoughts of our hearts be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. There was once a man, and he found many storage jars in the earth. He decided to write a doctorate about household food storage in ancient Israel. He read many passages of the Old Testament and learned how people regarded the food stored in their houses. Then his doctoral advisor asked him to also look at later developments, to read New Testament passages that featured barns or storage jars. Of course, I'm that man. This is more or less the doctoral thesis, and that is how I came to study the gospel reading of today. And so it's little wonder that I also want to set this text, the gospel reading, in its wider biblical context. In the Old Testament, the harvest was seen as God's good gift. It was God's blessing. Included in that blessing was the harvest that was stored in the house. For the land could yield a plentiful crop, but it was still not safe. Pests could attack it in storage, fire could destroy it, and in a world in which an invading army passed through some part of the land every 30 to 50 years, enemies could take it. It was indeed a blessing to have plenty of food. Indeed, the ultimate blessing was to have so much left from the previous year that you would throw it out to store the new harvest. It was this harvest which sustained the family and those who had no independent means, the orphan, the widow, and the alien. For it was clear to those people that in the measure that you received, you also gave. Of course, that meant that the whole family would be involved in the seasonal work required for harvest, so that the Lord your God might prosper the work of your hand. Indeed, the wisdom books of the Bible are a bit more direct. In another passage of Proverbs, the book denounces the fool that does not gather the harvest at the right time, who does not put in the hard work when required. The book of Proverbs says to look at the ant. It stores its provisions in summer. It gathers its food in harvest. And so should you if you are wise. Now, among all the good advice in the book of Proverbs is also the advice that we need to honor good God with our wealth, that we should give and not hang too tightly to our possessions. That's what we read today in the first reading. And what was the result of that generosity? Well, Proverbs says directly that then your barns will be filled to overflowing and your vats will brim over with new wine. That's clearly a good thing, at least Proverbs thought so. To some of us, it may sound dangerously close to the prosperity gospel. But clearly, in the Bible, there is a relationship between faithfulness and blessing, thankfulness and provision. After all, God loves a cheerful giver. Nevertheless, in the Old Testament, such giving was a sign of being part of the community and of thankfulness. It was not so that you could get more in the end. The barns that were overflowing and the vats that were brimming with wine were part of a harvest that had family and community obligations. Any such material blessings were to be shared. And so, according to Proverbs, the good life is a life of faithfulness and thankfulness and of wisdom. And as a result of that, there will also be joy. At the time of Jesus, as was common in any agricultural traditional society, people continually worried about having enough food stored. Maybe this is something we don't really appreciate today. But even a few generations ago, people worried about having enough food for the year ahead. My great-grandmother, for example, was from a poor farm in the German countryside, and she had lived through a few famines in the early half of the 20th century. Her preoccupation with saving and with having enough food sometimes became an obsession. When her daughter-in-law, that's my grandmother, when she baked a beautiful cake for her husband's birthday, my great-grandmother, so the mother-in-law, became quite upset. 7 eggs, cream, expensive flour, and strawberries that could have been sold to the fruit wholesaler. Did that young woman not realize that she had to be careful and that food can't be wasted like that on a birthday cake? It is in such a society in which Jesus spoke the parable of the man who relied on the grain stored in the barns. In a sense, this man did what was right. He gathered the grain at the time of harvest. He was ingenious enough to build new barns to store the plenty that had come his way. Maybe he could even be considered a wise man. And there's no sense in the reading that his wealth was ill-gained. So really, it could be seen as a blessing, as God's good gift. And yet, in Jesus' parable, God pronounces judgment on this man. Fool, God says, fool, not wise man. Why? Because this wealth does not provide the security the rich man had hoped for. The good life is not guaranteed by riches. One's life does not consist in the abundance of possessions. The most important matter in life, being rich toward God, was not considered by the fool who hoarded his possessions. Anyone familiar with the Old Testament background would realize that the rich man here holds the wealth greedily. The use of the wealth is totally centered on the man himself, and so he does not share it. The rich man also cannot acknowledge that this prosperity is a gift from God. As a self-made man, he may have considered it his right to now enjoy the fruit of his investments. And so these good things, what we rely on for our life, are turned into something that distracts us from what's really important in life. Possessions then are held in greed, not with thankfulness. That this parable is about greed is clear from the context in which Jesus tells it. Jesus tells it in response to someone seeking to appoint Jesus as an arbitrator of an inheritance dispute. And then Jesus warns his listeners to be on guard against all kinds of greed. For greed turns good things into bad, detracts us from what's important. And then the parable moves to the next point that Jesus wants to make. Jesus says, I tell you, do not worry about your life, what you will eat, or about your body, what you will wear. For life is more than food, and the body more than clothing. Consider the ravens. They neither sow nor reap. They have neither storehouse nor barn, and yet God feeds them. Of how much more value are you than the birds? If you want to know about the technical words related to storage in these verses, talk to me later. But the message, I think, is clear. Rather than worry, Jesus encourages his listeners to trust. Hoarding surplus is a sign of distrust in God's provision. Now, I will not advise you, as a result, to be profligate and not be careful with your money. Well, because it would be against my whole background. I come from a far too thrifty background myself. You probably know about the Scots and their reputation in the British Isles. If anyone is careful with their money, it's the people of Scotland. Well, in Germany, there's a region that has a similar reputation, and I am from that region. The Swabians are known for being very careful with their money and any other expenses. My great-grandmother was just an extreme example of that. But furthermore, I don't think that Jesus, through this parable, told people to be profligate and to squander any possessions that we have. Rather, it is a call for generosity and trust. The gospel reading reminds us that sometimes we rely too much on our wealth and financial security. Sometimes we rely too much on investments and our pension funds, on our insurances. Looking after our family and putting the money away for our retirement, they are good things. But if we concentrate too much on them, if we think that is how we derive value and happiness, if that is what gives us comfort, then we are on the wrong track. If greed takes over, then we turn in on ourselves instead of opening ourselves up to God and our neighbors. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also.